Good morning and welcome to HealthWorks. This is Carol Kinnear, Wayne Memorial Community Health Manager. I want to take this time and wish everyone a Happy New Year. This is actually the first show for 2021, and my guest is Mr. Fred Jackson, who is the Executive Director of the Wayne Memorial Community Health Center, correct?
That's correct. It's good to see you, Carol, and it's good to see 2020 in the rearview mirror.
Yes, right? And looking forward to 2021. Let's really, wish and hope that, that 2021 will be a better year. And in my heart, I believe it will be, right?
We're excited. The vaccine's coming. The days are getting brighter. Mm-hmm. We think it's going to be a great year.
Exactly. And, just to kind of touch a little bit on 2020, because you've been, with the Community Health Center since day one, so that's 13 years ago, over 13 years ago, would you ever think in 13 years that, you would have to deal with a pandemic?
No, this is changing. I've been in healthcare. We've all been in healthcare for a long time. And to see what we've seen happen in the last year, if I told you at this time last year that we were going to treat patients in the parking lot, they would have. We would have fired him. I would have fired any of my staff that said we'd have to do that. It became routine.
Right, exactly. But it is amazing how, anyone in healthcare and looking at our hospital, looking at our community health center, how we needed to adapt, correct?
Correct. And I think that's what shows the strength of our people and the strength of our system. We're given a set of circumstances that nobody had seen before and made the adjustments that they need to do the best that we can in the given situation.
Right. And many of the decisions that you had to make, obviously you did as a team, but also you had guidance from the Department of Health and,
right.
CDC and all of those entities, correct?
Right. They call it the art of medicine, but it's also evidence-based. And we worked with our experts, both internal and their interpretation of national guidance and what we learned on the fly. And I think we did a pretty good job for our community. And then we continue to do so.
Right. And I agree. So thank you. Thank you to you, your staff, everyone at the community health centers for doing an amazing job. You really have. We appreciate that.
Well, we've had good collaborative leadership with Dr. Cruz and Dr. McVeigh and all the medical staff and working with our partners at the hospital. It's been a challenge nonetheless, and we're all a little worn, but we're continue on.
Right, because the health of our community is very important to all of us. Right?
Yeah, yes, that is our mission, to develop the healthcare infrastructure for the community, and it continues to be our focus, pandemic or non-pandemic.
Right. So, right now, all the community health centers are open and seeing patients regularly, right?
That's correct. We are open. We're doing some telehealth and some more than others, and we will continue to develop our telehealth platforms as we go forward. Because I think that's one of the changes that has come, is the acceptance of telehealth in the appropriate circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
There's some extent there is no substitute for a hands-on visit with a physician to diagnose your issues. But there is a place at the table. It's one of the tools in the toolbox, as became a common phrase this year.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, obviously, we want, if anyone's listening, there's certain conditions, like, for example, if someone thinks they're having a stroke or a heart attack or chest pain, we want them to go directly to the emergency room. There's really no room for telehealth.
That's correct. There's no room for telehealth. And at a certain point, we need to, don't stop at your, we always encourage people not to go to the ER when it's inappropriate. But
right.
There are levels where do not pass go, do not stop at the doctor, go right to the ER.
Right.
And we try to educate as best we can to mm-hmm. know the difference.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I did have Jim Panto from the Lake Region Urgent Care about a couple of weeks ago on the show. So we did talk about that. So that was looking back at 2020, there was a lot of positive things that happened for the Community Health Center. And that was one of them, correct?
Yeah. Lake Region has brought to us the community for the last 10 years, a valued resource in terms of urgent care medicine. And a lot of people want that quick visit. A lot of the regular practices struggle to get same-day access. So adding them was really complementary to our Hamlin walk-in service that we have. So now we have one in Holmesdale and in Hamlin. And we also made a concerted effort at all of our 11 primary care offices, including pediatrics and specifically, to be more accessible on the same day. So when you're sick, there are multiple options, either with your primary care provider or an urgent care, the walk-in center, or pediatric practices. All of our sites have an enhanced focus on same-day access.
Right. And the point that we've talked about in the past when I've had you on the show or anyone from the Community Health Center is, the one good thing about the Community Health Center is it is an FQHC, which is the Federally Qualified Health Centers. And that allows you to accept anyone.
That's correct. That was one of the advantages of Lake Region, is that we were able to get them to accept Medicaid. And another option for our Medicaid patients who are most challenged financially to find a care location.
Right. And under the CHC, you also have individuals like Laura and Rebecca that work for the outreach, right? To help individuals that don't have insurance to maybe get insurance,
right,
and work with the CHC,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Laura and our outreach program are gems. Working through the Affordable Care Act or helping families that maybe the husband works and or the wife works and the other spouse stays home, but they don't have great insurance through their work, helping the family members, a combination between the work insurance, maybe possibly Medicaid, and possibly the CHIP program.
Right, right. And so, again, that's the best part about the Community Health Center. We're here for everyone in our community. Mm-hmm. And we work with Wayne and Pike County residents, yeah. Correct?
Correct. Wayne and Pike and Carbondale, Forest City, really whoever. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage, anybody that's struggling trying to find health care resources to talk to our outreach enrollers. They're very knowledgeable and they have resources. I refer personal friends to them all the time.
Right.
They call me, I say, look, I know a little bit. These two are the experts in our community. And they really do a nice job there.
Right, right. And I wanted to have them on the show, but this is their busy time of the year. So
to
get a hold of them. So I wanted to give a shout out to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, coming back to COVID and 2021, some of the positive things I think to look forward to is the vaccine. You mentioned that before.
Yeah.
Okay. So there is a process though. We know the vaccines are out there. The two, Pfizer and Moderna, are the bigger ones.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not necessarily readily available to everyone. Can you explain why and what the process is? Because there is a process.
Right, right. There is being rolled out, and we have gotten our first supplies that we're sharing with the hospital to get the employees done. There is a priority of the vaccinations of how it is. Healthcare workers being priority one, long-term care facilities and patients, priority one. And so that's what we're working through. We start with our employees. We don't have enough right now. We're getting the essential hospital employees and our staff here in CHC. The hospital has not gotten, we expect another in a couple weeks. And right now we're compiling list of community healthcare workers, private dentists, the physical therapy locations, private physicians, specialty physicians that are in our communities, and that we will reach out to those and schedule those. And there is a prioritization that it is expected that by the time we get into late February or March, we'll be working with the Department of Health to talk about general public. But right mm-hmm. now, our folk right now we're just pushing them to get enough vaccine for the healthcare workers. The long-term care has their own channel that they're working through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a process, but
right.
But it's a process that shows us the light of day. And mm-hmm. for that, we're pretty excited for.
Right. And, you know, people may say, well, you know, I'm busy, my job is important, or I'm out there, I should get the vaccine. But, you know, if we don't protect our healthcare workers, and I know mm-hmm. healthcare workers and people right. in healthcare are near and dear to my heart because I've been in healthcare for 27 years, right. You know, you need your staff. We need the hospital. We need mm-hmm. the nurses. We need the doctors to take care of people who are sick, whether it's COVID-related or not, correct?
That's correct. And if you go through the prioritization makes sense, and mm-hmm. it does lift those into the what we would call the 1B category, the frontline workers that are in the public every day have, and our teachers and things like that have, and their support staff have priority over, you know, a general construction worker. Not to pick on construction.
Right, exactly. And again,
but,
yes.
But those are the priorities.
Right.
And I think they're sensible. Mm-hmm. And our job that we have in the health system is to maximize what we get in the community and help distribute it as fast as we can.
Right. Because, again, you know, you had to fill out an application. They just didn't call you up and say, hey, right. you know, do you want to give out vaccines? There is a process. You had to fill out an application in order to be a distribution center and give out the vaccines, correct?
That's correct. That's correct. We work with the state and the Immunization Bureau through the Vaccine for Children program. And through that program, we get probably over $500,000 a year in vaccine that we distribute to the kids in our community. So we have a very solid working relationship. So there was a separate application to become a COVID vaccine provider, which we have completed. And we are using our contacts and our solid relationships that we've developed with them to see that we get vaccine for our community.
Right. And again, you know, that's important for our community to know. You know, when we have them available, and I say we because, you know, we're a family, the hospital and the community health centers, when mm-hmm. we work together, we will be sure to let the community know, correct?
Oh, yeah. Well, there'll be a lot of public announcements mm-hmm. and the like. Like I said, we have been canvassing, and we will continue to make sure none of the other community-based 1As get missed in the process. And then we'll move down the priority list to the, it starts with over 75, people over age 75 from that, the teachers and that we had talked about. And then we go down to 18 to 64 year olds that are compromised. And then we go to phase two, which is general public.
Right. Right. Yeah. And it's going to take time. It's going to be a rollout, and you know, there is a plan in place mm-hmm. and, you know, and if someone does have a question, they can call their primary care physician, correct?
That's correct.
You know?
Yeah, and we could call and look at what's online. I mean, mm-hmm. we'll announce. We're really asking people, don't call and ask when they can get the vaccine.
Okay.
Because right now, we are overwhelmed with calls that are appropriate, people that think they may have the vaccine, and educating them on what they should do in regard to quarantining and testing. And those are positive conversations. We'll announce, there'll be plenty of public announcements when the vaccine is mm-hmm. available. So please just don't call them.
Right.
Save the yep. room for the sick calls.
Right, because we are seeing still a high spike in COVID.
Unfortunately, we did a great job in our communities in shutting it down in the first round. You know, we're seeing peaks now from Thanksgiving. And we're expecting a Christmas peak, and it's unfortunate. And we have seen deaths of young people. I heard a story of a 27-year-old passed away mm-hmm. In the last couple of weeks, based on contacts and infection that occurred at Thanksgiving.
Right. And, you know, and so the vaccine is great, but it's not the answer right now for many things because it's going to take time for that to roll out. So we need to encourage people to continue mm-hmm. to wear their mask, right?
Right. We are in the home stretch. And as it was presented to me by somebody, they said, I don't want to be like the last soldier to die during World War II. And you don't want to be the last positive COVID death mm-hmm. in our community. So you need to continue to stay strong. We're all worn down. We're all sick of it. But you have to keep the faith.
Right, right. So continue, you know, we have, you know, New Year's Eve just passed, so we can't really warn people. But even looking to 2021, we still have to limit social gatherings, you know, wash our hands, wear our masks.
That's correct.
Right? You know, kind of stay in your small circle that we've been doing for the last year.
Yeah. But what I tell people is, look, it's a shame you couldn't see the people you wanted to see, but that one ornery Uncle Henry, you didn't have to see him either. So that count the positives.
Right, exactly. And that's what we always need to do, is look at the positive. So, Fred, thank you so much for being on the show today. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Carol. And stay safe, and we'll see you in the summer.
Exactly. And again, this is Carol Canario, your community health manager for Way Memorial Hospital, wishing you a happy New Year's. Have a great day.